Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. Our goal is to help Christians understand the truth of Romans 15:14, that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm one of your hosts, Curtis Solomon.
And I'm Lakin Liu, your other host. Be sure to check out other resources from the BCC at biblicalcc.org.
This episode is brought to you in part by the new MDiv from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. The strongest MDiv just got stronger. Southern Seminary introduced a new Master of Divinity degree in order to train, educate, and prepare students for a lifetime of faithfulness with even greater effectiveness. The benefits to students are greater personalization, increased specialization, and the opportunity to earn more credentials in an efficient amount of time. MDiv students who attend classes on Southern's campus pay for only their first 9 hours each semester and take one or two additional courses for free. That reduces the cost of the Southern Seminary MDiv by thousands of dollars. Discover how you can benefit from the new Southern MDiv that is simplified, personalized, and incentivized at sbts.edu/newmdiv. Thank you for joining us for this episode of 1514. We're always thankful to have you as part of our audience. This episode is another in our Build 133 series where we are encouraging biblical counselors to become a partner of the BCC and then join a 133 network. Today, you're going to hear about a network that has existed long before we were in this world of trying to encourage it, and actually one that we gained a lot of information about how to do these networks from, the Wisconsin Coalition of Biblical Counseling, and Dan Carmody was our guest. Lakin, you were able to be back with us today, so welcome back. It was a delight to have you on the microphone. So what did you appreciate most about this conversation we had with Dan Carmody?
Oh man, I love just hearing what they were doing in Wisconsin and understanding just their heart behind it and how they're not only doing that in Wisconsin, but allowing that to happen in other states. So if you, are wanting to have a coalition of biblical counselors in your state, or just get the talk going with people in your cities, like there's also practical ways that if you are a biblical counselor and you want to connect with other biblical counselors, like you're able to do that within your own region, let alone, and then work up to being within the state. And so I just, I'm like, if you want that to happen, if you want to gather with other biblical counselors, get ready to listen.
It's great. He gives some good tips, and he also connects because he was one of the people who we were inspired by who had documents saying, hey, how can you replicate this somewhere else? And he had the vision. I think it could be simultaneously encouraging, but also maybe a little overwhelming if you think, oh, I've got a statewide thing. But if you listen, he really does start, you start at the local level. It could be three people, five people gathering in one place, and then it spreads to another part of your city, maybe another part of your state. And then after a while, over time, you have this statewide thing that is connecting to other things in other places in other states, and Lord willing, a global movement to inspire biblical counseling from the grassroots. Well, Dan Carmody, thanks so much for being with us on 1514. Would you mind introducing yourself to our audience?
Okay, I am Dan Carmody with the Wisconsin Coalition, as Brother Curtis said. I grew up on a small dairy farm in Door County, Wisconsin, second of five children, raised in Catholicism, graduated high school in 1964, and moved to Milwaukee, seeking fame and fortune, and foolishness perhaps, but moved to central Wisconsin in 1969, where God began bringing Christians into my life, and meeting Christians that actually shared the testimony, invited me to a church in Stoughton, Wisconsin. In 1971, I went there and heard Pastor George Cable, wonderful preacher and pastor, and came to trust Christ under his preaching. In 1973, 2 years later, just hungering for the word and for knowing God and knowing his word better, I enrolled at Maranatha Baptist Bible College, primarily to know the Bible better. And while I was there, I got involved in church planting ministry with Dr. Joe Hubcher, one of my professors, and started helping them plant a church in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Eventually met my wife there. And we were married 2 years later. Currently, we have two adult children. But after our wedding, we accepted a call to a church meeting at a home near Stoughton, Wisconsin. And I was continuing my training at Maranatha at that time. Graduated from Maranatha in 1978 and served at that church for 15 years, where I dealt with people going through trauma, conflicts, griefs, the whole gamut of sinner, saint, sufferer needs. And I had my own struggles as well that I was dealing with. And that's probably part of what drove me to go to Maranatha. But anyhow, just from 23 years of self-centered living, before I knew the Lord, I was not handling life biblically, and led to making a decision that made it wise for me to resign and seek and get better answers for my own heart. In 1990, I sought counsel from Les Olala and Doug McLaughlin up at Northland Baptist Bible College at the time. And they introduced me to a counseling ministry, a missionary conference down in Lafayette, Indiana. They connected me with Bill Good. And in 1991, my wife and I came down here to the missionary conference. I think we had about 150 people there at that time. And I remember walking in the front door, and the first person I met was Dr. Bob Smith. Didn't realize the impact he would have in my life as years went on. But after that conference, we decided that it'd be wise to learn this philosophy of ministry and come down here, learn it, and then return to church planting, have a five-year plan to come down here. We got down here. I took the 11-week training eventually, and then eventually became involved in counseling on Monday evenings in the church counseling ministry. And that's when I really became a counselor, is sitting in the counseling, you know, taking the training, sitting in the counseling, seeing God's word used and how to use it, and how not to use it. And and that is when I really saw the need for it in churches. And I thought, why didn't I have that? Why couldn't we have more of that in Wisconsin at that time? And anyhow, the time went on. I became ACBC certified in 2004, and Gail became certified a few years after that. And of course, that's a long five-year plan. We're currently on our seventh five-year plan, and we are retired, and we have a passion to help churches in Wisconsin start biblical counseling ministries and be doing counseling in their churches and making it available in their communities. Just a dearth of counseling ministries up there. They're very few, far between. So that is what got us going in biblical counseling and starting the Wisconsin Coalition.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with us. And this episode is in a series we're doing where we are highlighting what we're calling 133 networks, or networks of biblical counselors who are gathering together. And the Wisconsin Coalition of Biblical Counselors has been around for a while, and you guys are, in one sense, leading the charge in this and helping set a great template for people. Can you tell our audience, what is the Wisconsin Coalition of Biblical Counselors?
Well, it is a coalition of like-minded pastors, counselors in training, or CITs as we call them, who share the vision and the mission to help evangelical churches launch fruitful biblical counseling ministries. We serve together in Wisconsin and in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. I'll maybe say a little bit more about that later, as to how we got the peninsula in there. But our mission is to help churches launch biblical counseling ministries. We had the chance to see how it's done in Lafayette, and we come from a small church plant that began in a home, and there's no reason in our understanding why any small church in Wisconsin or anywhere else in America couldn't do the very same thing with what God has given them currently.
Yeah, can you tell us about what led you to begin this networking effort?
Well, it officially began in 2016. And I'd connected with several ACBC certified pastors and counselors in Wisconsin and invited them to come and to meet at the February conference. I should probably jump a little bit ahead of that. It was our goal several years previous. We decided we wanted to help the church. We wanted to get something going in Wisconsin. So we worked with one church for actually 2 years, convincing the pastor that this was something he had to do, which ought to do. And he was assuring us that their church had their own counselors and that they were doing a great job. And then one Sunday, he said, and I've kept inviting him to the February conference, and said, "Dan, I'd like to talk to you. I really need to talk to you about that conference." And I says, "Lovely." You know, and I said, what changed your mind?" He says, "Well, my son and daughter-in-law were sent. We sent them to our counselor, conference counselors, and they recommended that they get a divorce, and that was the best they had." And he finally had his eyes open to that. And I was getting him signed up for the February conference, all excited about that, in a lovely church up there in Door County. And that was about September, October. And of course, there was a few months to go. But come January, I get a call from his secretary, and he had passed away.
Oh, wow.
And he passed away in his study on a Saturday evening. And he was a few years younger than I, but the point is, I spent 2 years working with him and encouraging him, and all of a sudden that's gone. And we've had some experiences where you work with a pastor and you get someone that's coming in, he's all for it, but then he gets called to another church and he moves on. So I realized that this one by one isn't going to get anything accomplished. Mm-hmm. So we started thinking more about coalition and asking around. So then in 2016, as I said, I connected with several ACBC certified people in Wisconsin I had known, encouraged them to let's meet in at the February conference and discuss what could be done. And we did that. And we were really quite naive. We made an announcement. I mean, we got by 1,500 people at that time. We said, anybody that would like to have hands-on help starting a biblical conference, bring your box lunch at noon and come to room 205 or something like that. Well, you know, the staggered lunches was interesting because they started filtering in, and they kept filtering in, but then they were going, we didn't account for the shift, you know, the different breaks. Yeah. But anyhow, we had people coming in and going out and great questions. And we just realized this isn't going to work. We need to narrow our focus to Wisconsin. That's where we started. So then a month after that conference, we met in Wisconsin, in Green Bay at the Spring Lake Church. And we had about 24 people there, including some who were not at the February conference. They were others that we had spoken to since and invited them, and they were interested in it. Ron Wolf from Kingsford, Michigan came down. That's how the upper Michigan got involved, the UP got involved. Ron has been a key right from the beginning and doing a great job. So that's kind of how it got started. We got together, created our mission statement, the chosen name, and began planning our next step. And I think the most important thing there was just getting started and choosing a mission statement that went beyond just learning and training, but going to where we want to actually start biblical counseling ministries in Wisconsin.
So if you wouldn't mind sharing that mission statement with us, I think you gave us the gist of it, but if you have the mission statement, could you share that with us?
The mission statement is to help evangelical churches in Wisconsin and Michigan's UP to start biblical counseling ministries in their churches and communities.
That's great.
Now, one of those ways that you're able to do that is through roundtables. Can you just talk to us about how you're accomplishing that mission through that?
Yeah, the roundtable is very, very essential. I mean, we found that to be our best way of connecting with people and helping people grow. I'm surprised it's really not new, actually. Some people listening may know, have heard of Lloyd Jonas. He was back 45, 50 years ago over in the Cape Cod area. And he actually had one going in his church. He worked quite closely with Jay Adams and others, but he kind of had the pattern there. Ron Wolf of Kingsford, Michigan was one of his converts, you might say. They were fellow pastors, and Lloyd kept inviting Ron to this Bible study they'd have, and then they'd do counseling in the afternoon, and they did it on Mondays, Mondays and Monday evenings, and Ron kept putting him off because that was his day off, and he was a busy pastor too. So, but finally he went, and after his first one, he kept going with it. And Ron, I'll say more about Ron later, but it just really married him into the biblical counseling movement. He was hearing things he hadn't heard before, and his testimony is powerful. I'd really encourage you to put his name on your 1540 list. he's an outstanding gentleman. But the round tables are the main tool, and I'm just want to check some notes on that. I don't know which question that was that I addressed, but the biblical counseling roundtable is just a grouping of people. They'll have a host church. They'll meet once a month for a couple of hours. Some of the churches rotate; they revolve from church to church. But the purpose of it is to enlist people to get involved, to also help counselors in training. Many of them come from the training conferences. They don't have any connections when they get back. Their church doesn't do biblical counseling. And they essentially park their notebook and park their interest and get back to things that they've been doing before they went to the conference, and they kind of lose interest and don't pursue it. As a result, the percentage of dropouts and is pretty high. But we find if we can get them together in the biblical counseling roundtable with other brothers and sisters and meet monthly and be accountable, we can encourage them to keep going forward, and we encourage them to press on toward ACBC certification as well. So, but the roundtables are hosted by churches, and they are pretty autonomous. Some have them every other month, some have them every month. They choose pretty much their own curriculum because they know what their needs are, and they do a very good job at that.
So we've been encouraging groups to that are starting, and we're calling them 133 networks after Psalm 133. And honestly, like in Wisconsin, each of those roundtables we would call like one of those networks. Mm-hmm. But you guys have done such a great job of networking, not just in the cities but statewide. That's one thing I want you to talk about at some point, but for people to get a little bit better understanding of what a roundtable looks like, how do they function when people get together, and what are the goals? What are you hoping to achieve in those roundtables?
Well, as I say, we look for a host church to lead one, and they are kind of like a hub in a wheel. They're reaching out in a 30-40 mile radius to people in the area. They choose a topic, they communicate with one another via Facebook or email or what have you, some will meet at lunch. They'll bring a brown bag lunch. They'll meet for a couple hours, have lunch, and some just meet different, like 9 o'clock till 11 o'clock, depends on their circumstances and their needs. But they'll choose a topic and discuss it. But what we encourage them to do is remember that the purpose of it is not just more study and more fellowship, but it is to encourage people and to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. But it is to multiply, divide, multiply, start. Find someone in there that is in a good location for another round table and has a desire to make that work in their area, and then to start another one there. And so they and they're doing a great job. It's just they have their trials too. We've had one host church in the past that had a church split in the middle of it all. they see the need for biblical counseling when that's the situation. And then, and sometimes pastors, as mentioned earlier, pastors leave, or leaders change, and so it's a kind of an ongoing thing. But it's the greatest. I think it's the best way to connect with trainees when they come back from great conferences, but when they get back, they just have to have, they have to stay connected. There has to be involvement at home if they're going to go forward. Without it, they will probably just kind of park it and wait for next year's conference and find another book, get another notebook to put on their shelf, unless they're engaged, get engaged. So that's kind of what that's about.
Dan, you're a biblical counselor. Can you just talk about why it's so important and how you've benefited from gathering with other biblical counselors?
I'd say encouragement, example. It's an encouragement too, because of the great need out there. Just encouraging to see more people get involved. We every week we have people that contact us. We've had missionaries from Sweden and one, I think, was Sweden or one other place, contact us about a family member in southwestern Wisconsin. They have a family member that are going through some struggles, and they had been to the faith conference and had received a training, but they're in Sweden, and there's no way they can get back for this. So they contacted us, and we were able to help them to make some connections. But we get people that are calling and hurting, and they just really don't have anybody in the area that can help them. And we're finding more that are calling and actually asking for biblical counseling. We don't want Christian counseling. We want biblical counseling. And that was encouraging, because it means that the message is getting out there. Biblical counseling is different. That's encouraging. But it's just a joy to get together with brothers and sisters and encourage one another and make plans to keep going forward with the coalition.
So why is it important to have local church support for these efforts?
Local church is the institution that God created, and he commissioned, and he gifted, and he equipped, and designed specifically to do soul care. His third institution. He created the family, he created the government, he created the church, he created no others. I really believe the local church is God's place of blessing. I believe it's the pillar and the ground of the truth. And I know the church has dropped the ball in biblical counseling and douthetic ministry. But the local church is what God has raised up all over the world, and has given them spiritual gifts and the tools they need to minister to wherever they are. We have, I think, in one church right now, meeting in the storefront between two Indian reservations. Four churches in the small town, and none of them were doing anything. But he's up there, and he and his wife, they took the training at Spring Lake. They've taken track 1, 2. I think they're taking track 3 now at Faith. But they're doing a great job. A little storefront. Started out doing it. They put up a tent and a kiosk at one of their community picnics and say, biblical counseling. They got booklets there. They're saying, hey, we do biblical counseling. And they're just busy building a church through biblical counseling. And they're building bridges with the Native Americans in both reservations. Interesting to see the inroads that he's making into their lives and their culture. So it's a blessing to see that. But the local church involvement is critical to the counselees' growth. Without it, the counselees need local churches. Christian counseling, it comes short unless they're getting involved in a local New Testament church with a new thetic ministry. So they need involvement. They need to worship there. They need to serve there. And God has designed that all as a part of our growth. A lot of people aren't growing because they're not serving. And a lot of people aren't, and we can give them all the counsel in the world, but if they're not serving, they're not fulfilling God's plan for their lives either. So churches are key. It's key.
Now, one of your passions is to see other states create similar types of networking ministries. How are you seeking to help in that effort?
Well, at the conference, what I found is the first year, each year, I see more people coming to our table, our display table at the February conference from other states, because we probably only have 30 to 50 people there, depending, you know, from Wisconsin. But people come by, they're interested in coalition, and they are, what I've done is I've printed up two bulletins. One is called Your State Also, or Your State Too. Basically, every state needs biblical counseling coalition, and any state can do it. So I really kind of printed up kind of a survey of what we did, or a review of what we've done in Wisconsin. And then I did a second one called Next Steps. That was kind of for attendees that are going home to churches that don't do biblical counseling, or they don't have a biblical counseling ministry in the area. And what's your next step? And encouraging them to get home, make a connection with somebody in their area, ACBC counselor, just get on the list, find somebody in their area, talk to them, tell them about the great conference you've been to and how God has used it to kind of tune your heart to wanting to do something in your church and community. And we've handed, you know, hundreds and hundreds of those out, just encouraging people over the years to go home and do something. Just go home, do something, see the need for it. And then, of course, the Biblical Counseling Roundtable. We have a three-page bulletin on the Biblical Counseling Roundtable. We get those out. Take it home, make copies, talk to people in your area, and just start one right where you're at. And, of course, with the 133 Network now, that's the most exciting thing in the world in my life. I really praise God. I remember back in, I think probably it was 2016 or 17, I met a tall guy at Faith called Curtis Solomon, and able to talk to him about the Wisconsin Coalition. And I am so excited to see that you have that vision, and that you're propagating that, and that you see the need, and that the 133 networks are rolling. Dave is doing a great job. We've worked with him in several different ways. And one of the fun ways here, Rachel, we have a quarterly virtual biblical counseling round meeting that we're having in Wisconsin. Well, when I connected with Dave, I said, now we can go nationwide.
Yeah.
So we did. And we've had our next speaker is Jim Neuheiser, but we want to get prominent teachers and speakers in the Christian counseling, biblical counseling movement to address. We're kind of targeting pastors. We want to get the pastors' attention. We know how key they are. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, the last one, it was a great time. And but then I got a call from a lady in Iowa with wanting one of the biblical counseling roundtable brochures, bulletins, because they wanted to start something in their area. Well, between time, we'd connected with Eastern Iowa Biblical Counseling Coalition with Dave Kirk. And he's doing a wonderful job over there. He actually started his thing 3 years earlier than we did. He started in 2013. But what the interesting thing here is, we're able to have that contact with this lady and the ministry that she has in Iowa, and just talk with her, learn her needs, then gave her to Dave Kirk, and he immediately followed up with her. He's following up with her. I'm looking forward to just seeing how that goes, because he's going to get them connected with the Eastern Iowa Biblical Counseling Coalition. And she was looking for a biblical counselor. She got a good ministry over there with single moms. And I think that the Eastern Iowa Network can be a great resource for them, a great encouragement to them. But that's all because we were able to connect with the 133 networks and then mm-hmm. connect with Eastern Iowa. Now just imagine if you get that going all across America, you can have a sleeping giant wake up. All of a sudden, you're going to have a lot of people just saying, hey, we want to get back to New Testament biblical counseling discipleship per the Great Commission. And we will have counseling available all over.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember when we first sat down and met, and I really appreciated your heart for just grassroots level, just building relationships, mm-hmm. connecting people, getting people spurred on. And I remember that those pamphlets that you gave to me, and that we were thinking about the 133 networks, we used a lot of the insight that you had gained from doing it already, and we talked to Dave Kirk and others and thought, how can we help other groups start this type of work? So if people wanted to get in touch with you, or if they wanted to get those pamphlets, how might they do that?
Probably the best way would be to email me at wibccinfo@gmail.com. wibccinfo@gmail.com. So, or call. My phone is 765-404-8554. Again, the email is wibccinfo@gmail.com. Or get in touch with Brother Dave Peterson.
All right. Yeah, and that email, we just revamped that email. It's bcc133@biblicalcc.org.
That's as confusing as mine.
It kind of rhymes. bcc133@biblicalcc.org. We had some smart people working on that.
That's great.
I was not one of them, so.
He's a hard worker and does a good job. He really enjoyed it. That's another way. We just had that the February conference here, and we have the meet and greet on Wednesday evenings. And that's the one that started at noon. It was so confusing with people coming and going with boxes. Well, we finally figured the only way to do it is at night after the conference is over. And it was very successful. And Dave did a great job of helping there and organizing. He's a good speaker. And we just have more fruit from that coming forth. It's very exciting. So we're looking forward to next year on that as well.
Yeah, that's a really exciting thing to do. And we found that we go to a number of other conferences and just getting people together at night. And I was just with some people in Detroit, and they shared the connection that can take place there. Because when we were together a few years ago at Faith, there were people from Wisconsin that none of you guys knew, you know, that connected and found out that you're 30 minutes down the road from each other, stuff like that. And I was just talking to somebody who, they're up in Michigan. Somebody goes to a conference in Texas, finds out about them, and they're like 30 minutes from them up in Michigan. So yeah, it's fantastic when we can make those connections.
Yes, and then meet physically, and that was exciting. And we had one of our roundtable leaders, their hosts, and his wife there, and they had a pastor that they met in their roundtable, and they had that pastor and his wife there at the February conference, and they're excited about going back and continuing the roundtable there, and hopefully spiraling off another roundtable in the near future.
That's great.
In the Milwaukee area, a lot of need in the Milwaukee area. And the whole area.
An aspect that we haven't talked about yet is how WCBC can serve training ministries. Can you talk about that's an aspect of what you guys do, and what does that look like?
How we serve training ministries. You put me on pause. I'm just going to grab those notes. Okay, how can we serve training ministries? Any coalition it can promote, number one, just promote their training conferences and encourage attendance. I didn't know about the February training conference until I was told by somebody else. We need to get the information out there. We'll take boxes of the February conference information and hand them out and mail them out and send them out in bulk to churches in Wisconsin and just say, you know, put this in your schedule. Look at this. Here's what, you know, we'd like to have you come for this, or we'd like to have you have track one in your church, in your area, and invite other churches to come in and study track one with you, go over track one. And one church, in fact, it was the Spring Lake Church, a little church, it's a good sized church in Green Bay, but they wanted to have Faith come up for the 3 weekends over 3 years. It's 3 weekends over 3 years. And Faith was reluctant. I remember Dustin calling and, Dan, they're not really, Green Bay's not that big. You know, do you think that they're going to be able to, you know, get the attendance that we really require to make it worthwhile? And we'll help them. And we did. We invited churches. We mailed. We did everything that we could. And that first year, they had 260 people attend. The second year, they had about right around the same. The third year, they went down to about 200. But that was all promoted through several dozen churches in the area, encouraging one another and saying, hey, we have something coming and it's going to be good for the area. Mm. It's going to be really an opportunity to get track one training here, track two, track, I think the third year they had track three and track one again. So that's one of the things that we can do. Another is we just use their conference speakers throughout the year as necessary for weekend training. Another thing, way we help the training ministries is to help their counselors in training get their 10-hour observations, where our ACBC certified counselors will encourage them to make themselves available for anybody that has taken track one and wants to get their 10 hours of observation in, to come in and actually do their observation with live counseling situations. Because I really believe that's where, I think that's where counselors are born, is in the counseling room, when they realize, hey, I can do that, and look at the blessings of it. Mm. It's the same with the exam help. The 50-hour supervised counseling connections, we help make connections for these. 50 hours is hard for someone to come up with for counseling if they don't have a local church connection or if their church isn't doing biblical counseling. So we help make those. So just the ongoing involvement in the lives of the counselors in training. When they get back, we just like to keep that fire burning, keep them encouraged about biblical counseling, and keep connecting with them through the roundtables. And then one of the greatest ways we've helped here was Ron Wolf. He started an ACBC training center up in Kingsford, Michigan, and he's also a fellow now. When we started, we saw the bottleneck with certification. People were getting training, they weren't getting certified. They get training, but they weren't getting certified. And Ron saw that, so he said, I'm going to start exam help. they were getting they were bonking on the exams, the theology exam or the counseling exam. He started exam help and quit providing free exam help for anybody that's taken track one. And he's probably matriculated well over 200 people. Wow. I think he probably had 50 or so people this semester. And he does it free of charge. And he's also become a fellow. He works with many of them to help them through their supervisory hours as well. So those are just a few of the ways. I think another way is just providing feedback on the counseling topics, the needs, you know, just on how their training can be, you know, more beneficial. So I think we have a lot to offer them, and we need a lot from them. I think The perfect thing is to have a coalition of coalitions and training ministries where they really work closely together to function as the body of Christ.
No, that's great. Dan, just a couple, we're going a little bit long today, but I think it's a worthwhile conversation. If you could share a couple ways in which training ministries might help the WCBC and other 133 networks or other groups that are trying to do a similar work.
I think the first thing would be to talk to us, just to dialogue with coalition organizers to learn how they can engage. They could help by helping their trainees connect locally after each conference, letting them know that we're out there. People in Wisconsin still don't know that we exist. I think every once in a while, someone, we didn't even know you existed, and we've been there for 7 years now. And it's hard to do that with Facebook to make it all done, but I would encourage them to probably modify their conference registration forms to include the optional permission to share contact information with a vetted coalition nearest them. Hmm. And share these names with that coalition if the applicant requests that to be done. So they know, hey, we can connect you with a coalition when you get home. And another, at the training conferences, especially for a week-long conference, have a session or two on why to start a biblical counseling coalition, or how to start a counseling coalition, or what is a counseling coalition, and how can it help you in your community get together and have the synergy of coalition to strengthen your churches, to multiply counseling ministries in your area. But I think just modifying that registration form, and then also allow time and space at the conferences for attendees to do that meet and greet. Within their state or within their region. And I think that's a real plus. And Faith has been good about that. I can let me just have a room. And then on Wednesday night, there's just, I like to encourage them to leave Wednesday night open just for coalitions because they have some other, what they call after dark sessions. But I'd say those would be two great ways. Another would be to help work with the coalitions to organize these training hub churches. In other words, the churches that are going to be the host churches for the Biblical Counseling Roundtable. Maybe some of their alumni or some of their people that they're really confident in that want to reach out and get beyond their own silo in their area. And work with the coalition to set up some of these hub churches. Our biggest struggle right now is you're getting pastors to say, yeah, we would like to be a hub church or we'll be a host church. So that's why we're kind of working, trying to address more to the pastors. The pastors are key. The pastors are absolutely key. That would help.
No, those are all really great ways that we should be fostering communication and collaboration among the different organizations. And obviously that's a big part of what the BCC is passionate about, and some good ideas to share with our colleagues and other biblical counselors as well. Well, Dan, thank you so much for all that you're doing in Wisconsin, and thank you for being with us on 1514 today.
Well, thank you and Lincoln for your prayers and the privilege of being here. Appreciate your ministry there. Appreciate all that you've done and the vision the Lord has given you. And we just pray that God will bless it for His glory and for fruitfulness for His glory. So God bless you.
Thank you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
And special thanks to our team who helped make this podcast possible. My assistant, Rebecca Mullins, helps coordinate these interviews, and our podcast engineer, Caleb Lau, does a great job editing and putting everything together. We look forward to you joining us next time.